570.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And welcome. Welcome. It's a great Monday morning. Well, Mondays aren't necessarily considered great. They're considered, we have to tolerate them. But we're going to more than tolerate today because we have wonderful guests we're going to be interviewing today, sharing some extraordinary work that God is doing in and through her and her team. But first, I am bound by tradition. Which is not a bad thing.
That's better than being bound by zip ties.
Well, yeah, exactly. I've never gone that far yet. But anyway, to introduce my co-host, and of course, the one you heard from first, Ed Skiba. Good to see you, brother.
Good morning, David. Another beautiful South Florida morning. And here, I don't know how many people are aware, but today's the first day of autumn.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah, it is. You know, in South Florida, you can tell when autumn comes.
Okay,
the color of the license plate starts to change.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That is true. I hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, we can't tell by the air temperature, but that'll happen. Sometime in January, we'll have two cold days. Ann Limhoko, good morning.
Good morning. You know, there's never a dull moment here at WCNO.
No.
You know what I mean? I just love being with you two. You guys are amazing, and I can't wait to hear from our speaker.
Yes,
but I just want to say it like I always say in Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. We need to rejoice in every day the Lord gives us.
Amen.
So
amen.
I rejoice amen. In today.
Well, me too. Thank you. And I do agree with that every
yeah.
day.
Yeah. And even does, Mondays.
Even Mondays. Well, ultimately, we're giving God thanks for
yes.
the life he's given us and the opportunities
yes.
in this life to serve him.
Absolutely.
And through us, I love Paul's statement about treasures and earthen vessels.
Yes.
That's what I am. I'm an earthen vessel, easily broken.
Mm-hmm. Is that something like a crackpot?
Yeah. Yes, Ed.
Our guest is getting to warm up to you, too.
Yeah, I love it, brother. I love your gifts, man. This morning we have with us someone who's actually been on the air with us before on a Wednesday live broadcast.
Mm.
And when I heard what God was having her do, it seemed right and proper to have her come for an hour and share the ministry of Foundations Academy. And I love the fact there are more and more God's people that are bringing Christian education, making it available to our young people.
Amen.
And it's at through the auspices, or it's on the site of High Point Church
yes.
in Port St.
Yes.
Lucie. So I also have to give a shout out to the pastor and the team there who are hearing, joining you in the vision God gave you to begin this wonderful
yes.
ministry. We're going to be unpacking this as we go through this hour. Deborah LaFontaine.
Yes.
I love to say that's. I'm a French, my French background. You were married to a French
yes.
guy, so you got his name, but it's just very lyrical. And so I'm probably saying it, the full name, several times during. Anyway, no, probably
beautiful.
Not. But Deborah, thank you for coming and being a part of this program today.
No, thank you for letting me join this team today.
It's really cool. I was so impressed with what, as you shared, what the Lord was doing through you, your willingness, your giftings. So before we get into talking, though, about Foundations Academy, share your God story with us, if you would. When did you meet the Lord? And,
oh, wow.
And tell
I
us
was
about
a,
that.
I was a small child. I was probably about 7 years old.
Hmm.
My parents did not go to church. I'm one of those products of some neighbor picking me up and taking me to Sunday school
wow.
on a regular basis. And through that, I asked Jesus into my heart.
Wow.
And never stopped.
Wow.
So
praise God.
My
praise
story
God
started
for those
there.
Neighbors. Those
yeah.
neighbors.
Anyway, and I think about that all the time because as I grew up and got older and became a teenager, I started seeing the need of the children in my community. I guess God must have laid children in my heart at a young age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would because they know I now could drive. We go and pick up the neighbor's children and say, hey, is it okay if I take them to church with me? And, of course, you know, most of them say, no problem, go ahead. Mm-hmm. A little different feel from it is now. But
Yeah, exactly.
But I started doing that when I was probably 18, 19 years old, taking children with me to church. Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
And then through that, you know, I was always involved in the youth ministries. And I had gone to a youth convention that summer, and I thought I was going to be a CPA. Mm. That was what I thought I was going to be until God changed my mind and said, no, education is where you're going. And I'm thinking, education? A teacher? I don't want to be a teacher. Teachers don't get paid anything. You know, that's logical.
Logical, yeah.
Well, and of course, that's the way my family felt, too. And I think so, but, you know, I prayed about it and prayed about it. And at the time, I was living in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And God put people into my path at that time that was south. It was called Southeastern Bible College at that time in Lakeland, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Of course, it's Southeastern mm-hmm. University now. And all of a sudden, I go, that's where I'm supposed to go. And that's where I went. And mm-hmm. that's where I got my degree in education. Started learning about how to teach a class, about Christian education. At that time, I wasn't a fan. I'm just going to be honest with you. I wasn't a fan. I thought, oh, I'm never going to teach in a Christian school. That, you know, people don't know what they're doing. It's, well, you know, God has this thing about when you tell him never.
Yeah.
And my first job out of school, out of college, was at a Christian school teaching high school, which was not my field. It was, my field was elementary. But the need was in the high school department in the math. And math was always one of my favorite subjects. So I started teaching math. Then I went from that school to another school where I started. Math was elementary. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love being able to share God's word with the children in my classroom. It seems like every day we started with our Bible verses, with our prayer, with worship. And the whole day just seemed like it just flowed from that point on. Mm-hmm. So it was being able to share God's word on a daily basis with the children in my care. It was like, I couldn't believe it. You know, of course, many years have happened since then. And a lot of those children that I had back in those grades, I see them now. And they're serving God. They're doing things for the Lord. Some of them are actually Christian teachers. But I remember before I graduated, I had taken this, I can't remember, it was educational philosophy class in college. And we were sitting out on the lawn. And our teacher said, all right, I want you to think about what God wants for your life. And how God is going to direct your education. And just dream big. So I thought, oh, well, someday I'd like to have my own school.
Mm. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. That was 45 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
But, you know, life happened. I got married, had children. I was teaching. You know, I thought, that's probably never going to happen. I'm getting towards the end of my life here. Mm. My husband had been a pastor in the Keys, and we decided it was time for him to retire, and I wanted to move closer to my grandchildren who were in Palm Beach County. And so I got came up here, and I still got a couple more years to teach. And at that time, I had gone back to the public school because I was teaching special needs. Because God had laid it on my heart to, you know, get my degree in that area and start working with children that didn't always have someone who really cared for them.
That's a real calling.
And because a lot of times I remember my first year teaching in the public school, and the principal came to me and says, "Oh my gosh, you're teaching these kids." I go, and what am I supposed to be doing? I'm not a babysitter. I'm a teacher.
Yeah. Good.
So I felt like that's because God had called me and put me in that place and that position. So when I came to Port St. Lucie, I got hired right off in a middle school ESE classroom. So while I was there, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I've only got a couple more years and I'm going to retire. God had other plans. So I got a call from High Point Church. They were starting the school there, and the guy who was helping start the school called me and says, hey, I need to talk to you. Can you meet me for a dinner? And my husband and I went, and he goes, well, I really would like for you to take over this school and be the principal of the school. At that time, it was only a preschool, but they had plans on building it up. And I thought, my first thought was, I don't know. I don't know. Like, let me pray about it. So I went home. and I prayed. And the first thing that God brought to my mind was, remember 45 years ago when you had that dream? This is the fulfillment of that dream. This is me using you in the area that you said that you were willing to do.
Wow.
So that's where I'm at now.
Wow.
So that's my story.
That's a great story.
That's a great story.
I love to hear a testimony like that, because so many times, you know, people, when they feel the urging in the spirit to pray for something, or especially when God's telling us to be prayerful about a vision he's given us, we often then think, well, it's a matter of a couple of weeks, maybe a few months, you know, and then it's going to reach fruition. But in truth, some of the things, and you're living proof, that we end up doing now is that prayer began 30, 40, 50 years ago.
And God had helped develop those different traits in me, so I was in the place and I was ready and willing and able to do what I needed to do.
Amen. And so here you are now living into this vision that was a desire of your heart a long time ago. So you got started at High Point. And so tell us a little bit about the beginnings of Foundations Academy.
Well, it started before I went there. The pastor of the church had felt like God had told him that this was going to be his legacy for the church and his part of his ministry, that he needed to start a Christian school there, you know, some place for people to come, you know, and be able to have a well-rounded education, you know, have a biblical worldview, not just, you know, get the knowledge, but actually be able to use that knowledge in a godly way in the community. Because sometimes, you know, we got the knowledge, but we don't know how to use it. We don't have the wisdom, and that comes with God, you know. And when we start teaching them the scriptures and how to use that scriptures and how to work alongside other people, because, you know, sometimes that's some of the hardest thing is learn to work alongside other people that don't necessarily have our same vision or some ideas and belief system. But as when we start developing that biblical worldview with the children in our care, they start to learn and they start to think a different way. They start to realize, you know, it's okay for them to be different because I know God is still working. Yes. God hasn't finished yet.
Yes.
And sometimes we, some of us, as we get older, people think, oh, you know, God's already finished. Well, God is not finished.
Never.
The story is not done. And God is starting now with Foundations, with the children there, that they're working to develop those skills. So when they're out in the world, because we are part of the world,
we're not, you know, we have to
engage. Have to live in the world.
Yes,
that they will know how to work when they're in that environment.
Now, as you're speaking about Christian education, and we're seeing an increase in the opportunities for churches to do this. We also there's been a wholesale change. In the educational environment in America.
That came after COVID, because a lot was exposed.
Was, you know, and while we may decry COVID as we should, we lost so many people.
Yeah.
But, you know, what God pulls out of that is not always, God makes things work out of things that are dying. Really. Mm-hmm. Out of death comes life. So out of COVID came a move toward homeschooling, a greater move toward homeschooling, and a greater move toward thinking of not going back to the public schools, where we saw a huge, I'm trying to think of the phrase so I can be nice.
Indoctrination.
Yeah. Right. That's a better word than I was going to use. Thank you, Ann. But people begin looking askance at public education, being concerned about it. And so we begin to see a rise in the Christian, more churches investing. And so High Point is on board with that. Before we go any further, there are people listening now who may never have until this point thought about enrolling their kids in a Christian education environment. And then they're thinking, that's going to cost some money. Yeah. But isn't there something through the state of Florida that people can take advantage of?
Oh, I know.
It's the Step Up Scholarship. Yep. It's available to everyone. It doesn't necessarily pay for the total tuition, but it takes a big portion of it. I know when my children went to school, there was no scholarship for the kids. But nowadays they do have Step Up Scholarship. It's available, and then of course we have some families that Christian education, because you know, if financial needs. And I mean, today's it's expensive. We do have a church scholarship that goes along with it, too. So if they can't afford that extra $1,000 or $1,500 a year, we can help supplement that also through the church scholarship. So we do have scholarship monies available.
Which is fantastic.
That's wonderful.
And there are a lot of people that are with the voucher plan from Florida and the Step Up scholarship, and their own their income is decent enough where they can make the difference.
Right.
So we all know we have about 5 minutes before the first break, but I want to say we all have a pretty good idea of the benefits of Christian education as opposed to public education. But just would you please give us outline for us those benefits?
I actually have them.
Oh, you do. Okay.
See, she's a good principal. Very well prepared.
Well, I have a. I'm getting older and I forget things. So. Well, the first thing is that we ground it. Everything's getting grounded in God's truth.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And the whole everything in the whole curriculum, science, the math, everything. God is embedded in everything.
Good.
So they develop that biblical worldview, how to stand for what they believe in. So when they go out into the world, they know how to interact with those around them. I mean, they learn character developments. They learn how to be obedient to God. Trying to think what else here. We equip them to be able to serve, you know, because a lot of times people don't realize, you know, education, these children don't need this just the head knowledge. They need to be able to have that servant's heart and go out and serve God in the way that God has created them to do that.
So does the school create opportunities where the children can go out and serve?
Right now, because I still have the smaller, younger ones, we do things like we collect food for the and we take it over to different places for homeless shelters.
That's wonderful.
And sometimes old clothing, and we give it to the people that need it.
Yes.
So the children are able to participate in those kind of things right now.
Good.
But as they get older, we want to be able to have them go out because, you know, kindergartners and first graders is a little bit young
too
some
little
of those
still.
Things.
That's right. Yes.
But, we should mention at this point that Foundations Academy – currently, it's K-2.
K-2 at the moment, yes.
At this time. But there's a vision to add third grade next year.
Yes. I mean, when I first started, I thought it was going to be K-5. Mm-hmm. Now they're telling me K-8. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying possibly even high school. If the way we're growing.
Praise God. Yeah.
It's a great vision. But people, and we'll get back to that in a moment. But I'm sorry to interrupt
you. That's fine. No problem. The last thing is that, you know, it's our way to pass our faith on from generation to generation.
Amen.
Because sometimes families have a hard time doing that. I mean, because if you know today's society, families are just overwhelmed.
I mean,
with trying to work, trying to raise their kids, trying to do this, do that, they don't have all the time that they really need. But when they put them in a Christian education facility, someplace like our school, they got the extra support to help them do that.
That's wonderful.
That's significant. More people are becoming aware or awakening. I'm going to say awakening.
Yes.
You know, I want to. That's the other side of being woke, by the way. In our culture, if you're woke, you're really asleep. If you're awakening, it's you're beginning to open up to the truth. And the truth, really, who is the truth? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
And so we end up getting back to the church, and I'll tell you what, I was going to ask you a question. I'm going to hold this off because we're really perched on the brink of taking a break.
Okay.
So to the listener, let me say, you may have already got some thoughts. You may have a question for Deborah. You may have a comment from your own experiences or whatever. You're welcome to call after the break, 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Call and... when we come back, we'll take your calls, pipe you right into the studio.
And we'll also give the website of so they can find out more. We'll talk about that when they get back.
Yes, we'll definitely want you to know more about Foundations Academy because, well, you know what? Why? Number one, if you're a believer and you're not praying for the education of our kids, if you don't already know the disaster that is public school all over America.
Absolutely.
If you haven't picked up anything from the news with all the wokeness going on, then you know right now, if this is the first day you're learning about this, great. Then start praying for education in America. Pray for the public schools. They really need a turnaround. But also pray for what God is doing in and through the churches. And because the churches are starting to become aware that they need to be offering what is not available in public education.
Mm-hmm.
And which is interesting because in the very, very beginning of education in America, the churches were involved. And suddenly
that's
at some point...
That's what the Lord had it to be. That was God's plan, not to be turned to the government. Yeah.
And then suddenly the government took over. Well, it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
But it did happen because slowly but surely we gave up the mandate that God gave us and the government stepped in.
Yes.
Anyway, let's take a break and we'll be back.
Okay.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu joins former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez in concert to benefit the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a charity that blesses military veterans, first responders, and their families. This is only one night at the Lyric Theater, downtown Stuart, Florida, October the 30th. For more information, tickets are available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone 772-286-7827.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Hey, welcome back to the front line. We have Deborah LaFontaine with us today, principal of Foundations Academy in Port St. Lucie at High Point Church. Wonderful stuff we've been hearing thus far. I know more wonderful stuff is coming. If you would like to call and ask her a question or make a comment, you can reach us at 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And you were just sharing the benefits of Christian education over public education, and they are tremendous. I'm not going to. Had a question. I'm going to go to Lynn.
A couple
Ann
of questions.
That.
First of all, I think it's important that we tell our listeners the website so they could actually get on their phones now. And if they look through the website and they have any questions, they can get you directly just by calling.
Yes.
So do you want to give out that website address, Deborah?
www.foundationspsl.org.
Wonderful. And just to reiterate the point that somebody may be listening and they're like, wow, Christian education is just way too expensive. They won't even explore it. It's within reach.
It really is.
So please go over. I mean, if you want your children to go to a Christian school and you just thought it was not even possible, at least pray into it and ask Deborah the questions. Go over the scholarship thing again because it is within reach.
Yeah, there is the Florida School Choice program that's going out, which is the Step Up Scholarship.
Yeah.
Which all you have to do is go online and apply for it online. It's fairly simple. It's not an income restricted thing. I mean, pretty much everyone applies will get the scholarship. It doesn't necessarily cover 100% of the tuition, but it covers probably 85% to 90%.
Wow.
That's really a lot.
And if you can't afford the other leftover, which is usually maybe $1,100 to $1,200 at our school, then you can apply for the school's church scholarship for that extra leftover amount.
Wow. Now, I do know I've heard people talk about the fact that they have kids in public school. They're not happy with that arrangement. Right. And so they go to the school administration to talk about the voucher.
Yes.
And they get a lot of pushback. They get some bad information, which is unfortunate. Where could someone go to really get the accurate information about
the Step Up Scholarship?
There is a website.
It's www.stepupforstudents.com.
Okay. And is that's published by the state of Florida?
Yes,
okay.
It is. Yep. You can go there and it'll tell you exactly what you need to know, how to qualify, and how to apply. And there'll be phone numbers if you need to call to somebody.
That's cool. And that's what we recommend you do. If you have children in public school, and especially getting any pushback, you may not be getting support from the administration.
Right.
It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So
we need to talk about the importance of children having a biblical worldview.
Yes.
You know what? Like she said, every class teaches the biblical worldview, and our children are being raised in public schools where Christ is not even brought in. That's sad. And they can't just get it once a week at Sunday school.
Exactly what was on my mind just now. Think about this. Who is it that Charlie Kirk was fighting so hard to reach?
The young generation.
The young generation that did not have the foundation that Deborah's offering there.
Yeah.
And we can, parents today are probably worried about whether their kids, when they get higher up in education, are going to be exposed to this liberal perspectives on everything, the secular perspectives. Mm-hmm. This is a good way to ensure that if they are exposed to it, they have the weapons to fight back against it.
And what does the word say? Train the child.
Train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not soon depart from it.
When they get older. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Amen. Yeah.
And it's true.
It is true.
Very true.
Yeah.
And that's the vision. Now, a little curious, keeping in mind we have K through 2.
Yes.
And these are very young ages.
Yes.
Do you have anything in the curriculum that's civics oriented that's been missing from the public schools for the longest time?
Good
foundations of America.
Yeah. Well, this we do have, the social studies type unit that has that kind of things that talks about, how America was built and on biblical principles and stuff. But we also have something called God's News World or something like that that we do. It's a current event magazine that we use on a weekly basis. It's talking about things that are happening in the world and how to see it through God's biblical perspective.
You teach that to the young kids.
We have it from kindergarten up, yes. We have it at different levels.
Wow.
Excellent.
That's
because,
fantastic.
They're hearing it from their parents. They want to know what's going on. So they need to be able to understand.
That's great.
Yes.
It's like a little newspaper for kids.
It is.
Yeah,
and I'm a journalist, so I advocate for
those
knowing what's going on.
Those kids that age, the secular kids that age, are getting indoctrinated.
Social media.
Right here,
he's holding
online,
up his phone. Yeah.
On their folks' cell phones and on computers and everything. Why shouldn't we be doing the same thing?
Yes. I'm glad you asked that question, David.
Yeah.
Well, it just struck me that I think over the last couple of decades, at least, that type of teaching has been removed, or severely edited, in terms of the teaching, the civics, the social studies, and all of that, especially the foundations, basic American history, foundational stuff, and
important.
So, I know that most Christian schools do that.
Yes, they do.
And so, it's great to have that as a component, especially in the early ages.
Yes, I mean, it's really, if you would sit and listen to them when they start learning some of these things, you can just see their minds just, and they'll say things, but that's not what the Bible says. But that's not what the Bible says. And already in kindergarten, first grade.
Critical thinking.
Yes. Yes.
They're
it's
already saying thinking. Those kind of things.
Critical thinking. Is there anything different in your Christian school, would you say, that's different from other Christian schools that set you apart? Just, because I know there's Christian schools in the area. So is there something different, would you say? It sounds like you want them to get more involved in the community.
Yeah, we
I haven't
do
heard
have a lot
that.
Of community awareness, and we do want them to be aware of what's going around them.
Yeah,
I mean and then of course we have children with special needs within our classrooms also. So they're learning how to work together with not necessarily just people that always look like them, but people that have other type of things going on in their lives also. So because there's challenges.
Yeah.
In all of our daily lives. And they need to learn how to work with those challenges with a godly perspective and see those individuals. I listened to one of my teachers, I think it was just last week at one of our chapel services, that she said that, yeah, she was in my classroom, my children know that we're all made in the image of God. And it's, in God's image is not just like one of us. He's all of us. Mm-hmm. So when
beautiful.
We look at each other, we're mm-hmm. all looking at God.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Yep.
It's teaching like that that has been eliminated from public education,
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
in its place, in taking out that the truth of who we are, our identity in God,
mm-hmm.
has allowed these fantasies of gender dysphoria, all the
yes.
fluidity,
yeah.
All of the gay, LGBTQ stuff, whatever mm-hmm. that agenda mm-hmm. has been able to come in. And bring great confusion
right. mm-hmm.
into the minds of kids that have not been formed sufficiently.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the filters.
Right.
And they're being taught by adults who naturally children look to as authority figures.
Yes, that's true.
And believe what they're saying is true.
Imagine being taught in public schools by people who don't know the Lord. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's,
I'm not saying they're all bad teachers, but they're not getting that biblical worldview that they need to get at a young age.
And it's true because, you know, I have a couple of my teachers that I have at my school were
yeah.
in the public school. Okay. They were teaching in the public school, and they came over because they wanted to. They said, and one of the things that we were interviewing them, I think, during the summer for some of our social media things, and the teacher was asked, well, why did you choose to switch?
Yeah.
And she says, because every day I get to share my testimony with these children, and every day I get to share God with them and worship with them and be that model for them that they may not have out in the world. And
wow.
she says, I know they won't get it in the public school because I was there and I wasn't allowed to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, that's devastating.
It is devastating.
They weren't allowed to share the Christian values in their public school, but the rest of the teachers were encouraged
yes.
to share the left-wing values
right.
mm-hmm.
of transgenderism, et cetera.
Yeah.
They were encouraged to do that. In fact, yeah, in many places,
mm-hmm.
mandated
yes.
to do that. We've got to keep our kids away from
we
that.
We do. So. We do.
Well, look at the bitter fruit of what's happened in public education.
Mm-hmm.
When today you look on college campuses and you see pro-Palestinian rioting and you know, all that
yeah.
stuff, and people, having protesting the truth, basically,
mm-hmm.
and because they're coming out of what they believe.
But they're doing it out of ignorance, because many of them that have been questioned and interviewed
mm-hmm.
don't even know what they're protesting.
Exactly.
They have no
right.
idea what the foundational elements of the protest are.
And Charlie Kirk would ask them questions
yeah.
and they could not answer basic
exactly.
questions, because kids tend to, especially if you're older, 20s,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
just follow the crowd.
Exactly.
Follow the crowd. If
yeah.
if you have a child who's getting
yeah.
to learn to biblically think and critically think, they will question what
comes
at them.
And
absolutely.
That's what's
so,
critical thinking
yeah,
has
critical
been
thinking. Yep.
taken out of public education.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For several years. Well, at least a couple of generations.
Right. Absolutely. That's the enemy's
yeah,
plan.
Yeah. Critical thinking has been a big thing in public school, too. But the problem
yeah.
is
mm.
they don't want you to critical think completely.
Mm. Yeah,
they
just
want you
partly
to think in one area, but not
right.
the whole area.
Stay
where
within
right.
the agenda.
In the Christian education,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you get the full picture, and you get to see what God would want you to
yeah.
do in that picture.
Mm.
And that way you can make a biblical choice.
Yes.
Okay, this is the way God would have me do it.
So in the younger, back to Foundations mm-hmm. Academy then, with that in mind, in terms of your curriculum,
yes.
how has the development of critical thinking, how has that been injected into your curriculum? How is it presented to your students?
They're given, I mean, of course, you know, they're taught God's values and
yeah.
in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the core of everything they've been taught. But when something comes up, I know that there were some incidences where last year that something came up in kindergarten where a family had taught their child something, and or
mm.
they had heard something from, you know, news, because, you know, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And they brought it into the classroom, and they were able to talk about what they heard.
Mm.
And the other children were able to talk back and forth and, like, make a little I mean, even at a kindergarten age, debate the topic until finally that they
precious.
Were able to say, you know, is this God's way of doing this? or if it's man's way of doing this. And they all said they were able to like do a little
That's
bow
heavy
and
for
talk.
A kindergarten.
I was shocked at how well that they were able to make that decision for themselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a correct decision. I mean, as Christians should be making. I mean, I see teenagers and young adults struggling to make those kind of decisions.
They go,
well, you know, it's not really the way the world works anymore. I'm thinking, well, the world's not always right.
Yeah.
You know.
Truly.
Yeah.
And the K through two.
Never changes.
Yeah.
The ages in the K through two, some people would say, well, they're not capable. Engaging with critical thinking at that age, but that isn't true, is it?
No.
The secular psychologists want to say that their brains aren't developed at that point.
Well, they're developing at that time.
Yeah. They are, but they're developed enough.
Yeah.
So they're able to grasp the concepts.
Yes.
The essential concepts.
And a lot of times people think that those developmental stages, that we have to wait till they're completely formed. Mm-hmm. Before you give them the information, and that's not true.
No.
Because as they're getting that information, those stages are working together to form the right connection. So when they are able to make critical decisions, skills, and do things like that, now they have a firm foundation to plant to place it on.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's one of the things with our school. That's the theme of our school, you know, building a foundation for life.
Yeah.
Because learn that stuff, their life, they will understand. I mean, it won't always be easy. We know that.
Yep.
But they will know the correct path.
I'm reminded of a story the president of my seminary told that before he got into teaching, he had been in a world where he was handling a lot of large sums of money.
Okay.
So he went to school in Washington, D.C. to recognize counterfeit money. Mm-hmm. And he spent a whole week there.
Interesting.
And at the end of the week, he said, listen, he said, you showed me fives and tens and 20s and 50s, and you tell me all of that. He said, I know what they all look like, but you haven't shown me anything counterfeit. How can I recognize it? He said, if you know what the real thing looks like, you'll recognize the phony.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wow.
And the word, getting back to the, we're a couple of minutes out from the next break, but foundations. Academy, that's the name, and of course that's also the vision.
Yes,
is the building, giving children a strong foundation that they can then build on through the rest of their lives.
Yes,
and often I think we don't pay enough attention to those foundations that our own kids were building at home, not to mention in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are also, if we're parents,
right?
Especially Christian parents, other. Mm-hmm. Non-Christian parents don't even think about this. But even Christian parents need to be more cognizant of what God is calling us as Christian parents to build foundations for their children at home.
Right.
And, of course, that means we do it at home. We also then, in the church, we take them to church. Those foundations are reinforced there. And as they get older and go out into the world, they take those foundations with them. And as they encounter the world itself and the worldviews, as they stand on those foundations against the worldviews, those foundations become stronger because of their stand.
It reminds me, like, I was just listening to an interview we had of a parent. She said the reason they chose our school is because what we were teaching in the school is what they valued in their home and what was in their church. And then we had that scripture, you know, a cord of three strands is not easily broken.
Yes.
Because you've got the church, you've got the school, and you've got the family. Yep. Woven together, teaching the same thing.
Amen.
And those three strands have been shredded.
Yes.
Yeah.
At least in American culture, by the left.
Yeah.
Right.
Over
been
several
strained
generations.
Really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Strained. I mean, they haven't been broken, but
they've
been shredded.
Kirk proved that they haven't been shredded.
Right.
But they have been strained.
Strained
to a great length.
Yeah. I'll change that to strained.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not shredded. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take that next break. Now, folks, listeners, this is a more pastoral break for you. You may have some things you've got to do that have just cropped up, but you want to listen to the rest of the program, so you have about 4 minutes during this break. So that'll just do that, and we'll get back. If you want to call, 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100.
some of us.
There are heroes of a faith worthy of esteem, who have lived their lives in service to Jesus Christ our King. But if you tried to lift them up, I know that you would find they would tell you thank you, but the glory is not mine. He's the only one who's deserving. If there's anything that's good you see, it's Jesus who's alive in me. All praise to Him, all praise to Him. It is true humility and not a subtle pride that drives a fervent Christian to press toward the prize. We know what Jesus did for us. We long to share our faith. And it's because of what He's done that makes us want to say, He's the only one who's deserving. If there's anything that's good you see, it's Jesus who's alive in me. All praise to Him, all praise to Him. Praise Him, praise Him. I want to praise Him, man. Praise Him in the noontime.
Praise Him.
I want to praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. All praise to Him. Christ alone is worthy. All praise to Him. He's the
Welcome back. Gosh, time has flown here.
It did fly by.
It's you can hear the flapping of its wings. But we are back for the last maybe 15 minutes or so of this program. This is The Front Line. We are interviewing today. Actually, it's gone beyond interview. We are fellowshipping with Deborah LaFontaine, who is the principal of Foundations Academy. And Foundations Academy is situated at High Point Church.
Yes.
In Port St. Lucie.
Yes.
What's the address there? Okay.
2250 Southeast Walton Road.
Okay.
Walton Road.
Okay. Walton Road. Most people should know Walton. If you go up US 1, and there's a big intersection there.
Yes.
And Walton takes you right to Indian River Drive. If you want to go that far.
You're right.
Walton's a pastor's
name. I drove it so many times just this past week.
The pastor's name's not John Boy, is it?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I'd forgotten about that program.
What is the name of that program? It's called the Waltons. Okay.
The Waltons.
No, I know that program. John Boy. Okay. I know John Boy.
Okay.
They parlayed it into a 1500 store discount emporium.
That'll help. I'll tell you, stupid little remarks like that will help people remember the address.
Yeah.
The world. Anyway.
You're so right. You are so right.
That is
association.
True. Well, anyway, back again. I'm sorry, I got us off track, but getting back on track with Deborah, and you were sharing about during the break about where you wanted to pick up as we finish the program.
Yeah, I mean, I think the importance of Christian education today because,
yes,
you know, it's such a valued thing for people and families because families don't have the time that they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that they can put their child in a place that they're well cared for, that they're getting biblical values taught to them on a daily basis, and they have good role models to see while they're there. I mean, it's not just investing time in their minds. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times we think of education and we're just investing in their minds.
Right.
But when you have Christian education involved, it's not only their minds, but it's mm-hmm. their hearts and souls also.
Yeah.
Because it's creating that God image inside them. They get to know what God is about and what God wants for their life. I mean, at an early age, because they never will depart from it and they learn it.
That's what that word says.
Yes.
If a parent is interested, are they able to kind of observe first to see the
yes.
class? Come in and observe and let me just think about it and pray
yeah.
about it.
We offer tours all the time. People can come in and say, I'd like a tour of the school. Sure, you can come in and tour anytime.
Good.
And if they say, hey, can we test out a day? Sure. I mean, we've had kids that come and tested the day and then fell in love and said, Mommy, I want to come here.
Wow. So,
and I guess that's one of the things that I've had a lot of comments about when people do come and do tours. They go, when we walk through these doors, we feel a presence.
Mm.
And I
Amen.
Go, well, you know what that presence
that's
is.
That's
presence
Amen.
Of God.
Right there.
The presence
right there.
Of God.
We feel a presence because, you know, God is there.
Mm.
When our teachers are praying for their classes every day,
mm-hmm.
we have people on the staff praying every day, and we have people in the church praying every day. I mean, that place is getting prayed every day.
Prayed up.
Yeah, so.
Praise God.
It's good to know, you know, when people come in, that people that don't necessarily have a Christian background sometimes
mm-hmm.
come.
Absolutely.
And they'll come and they'll go, what is this? I just have this warm feeling when I come. I go, it's like, is it the people here? What is it?
Yeah.
I go, well, you know, we are a faith-based school.
Mm-hmm.
That means we, you know, we're Christians and we believe in God and we believe God's in everything that we do here. So probably what you're feeling is God working in your heart.
Yep.
And they look at me and they go, never thought of that before. I go, well, mm-hmm. something to think about, right?
Yeah.
So, pretty much so.
But, no. you know, our school is growing. So at the moment, we have kindergarten through second grade. I mean, the future, you know, is vast. I mean, next year we'll add third grade, and the next year the fourth, fifth. I mean, when I started, I thought it was going to be K through five. Now they're telling me their vision has grown because they see the need. They see the people who are wanting to come. That's definitely going to be a K through eight. And once we get
wow.
there, who knows, maybe even high school.
So you guys will all be able to be in that same building?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm thinking once we get to K through five, we're going to have to find another building or have a new building built.
Okay.
But they're looking on what to do next.
Praise God.
It's a good problem to have.
Yes.
Good problem. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, and it's not beyond certainly God's ability to provide the funds for whatever he wants you all to do. You know, this is what you're doing now is the fruit of a vision that God has given to the pastors. I'll tell you what, you go on. We have no one to answer the phone except me.
Yeah, the fruit of the vision. And, you know, when you were talking in the beginning, Deborah, you said that you thought you were going to become a CPA, but then you went to a conference.
Yes.
I want to know how you heard the Lord to do education, because there's a lot of people who listen and they don't pray about what they should do with their lives.
Well,
so how did you hear the Lord tell you to go towards education?
Well, I was working towards my business degree.
Okay.
You know, and while I was working on my business degree, you know, I needed financial aid to go to school.
Oh, there
so
we
while
go.
I was doing that,
we're
going to
take a call really quickly.
I started
Deborah.
Tutoring. So.
You got it, Ed?
Hello, caller. Yeah, the green light's not coming on. I wonder if David's put it on the...
All right, hang on just a minute.
We apologize.
Sorry about that, caller. We had some technical issues with the phone in the studio. Call us back. I'll pick up the phone and send you through, okay?
Is this hung up properly? No, yes.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah, the green light didn't come on.
Okay.
There you go.
I have to transfer it.
Sorry, Deborah. Okay. We're having a little technical. Usually it's right here, so I'll just be able to answer it. But
we got old people playing with technology. That's all, the problem.
It's all good, Ed. No problem. All right, Ed.
The green light did not come on.
There you go.
Ah,
you're on the air.
You're on the air.
Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say that as a parent, when we see what happened with the Charlie Kirk, we're now calling a revival movement.
Yes.
I just praise God that I and my husband at the time was able to make a very important decision to have a godly-based education for my daughter and my son, who are now in their adult years, and the challenges that have been facing in the world at this point because of just so much trying to oppose the truth. But I just love when the Bible talks about that if you do train up a child in the way they should go, that they won't depart. And that's such a promise for us as parents. Yes. And I just say, God bless you, Deborah, and the church for backing a school with foundations. And I just praise God that we have the freedom and the liberty that being fought for every day to be to be able to have a godly-based education. And thank you for bringing it to the air, Brother Pastor David,
Ed. Ed.
Ed.
And oh, what's his name? Ed. Oh, what's his name? I knew him well.
No, God bless you all. And thank you for bringing this.
Thank you for calling, Anne Marie. Good to hear from you.
Happening in society. So God bless you. Love you all.
Love you too, Anne Marie. Thank you for listening and calling.
Bye-bye.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, and I have to apologize to our listeners for the cacophony of movement around. When I said to call, and I assumed that the manager was here to answer the phone, but
I'll have another cup of cacophony.
But I now remember he had to go out to the tower. We have some things that have to be checked on out there. So nobody's here but me.
So we're mobile. You just had to run out there, grab the phone. No big deal.
Yeah, we can take another call.
Yes, we can.
And now that the phone is situated and the operator is able to manage it. Oh, well, this is life in the big city.
Someone told me I had to be a little bit smarter than the machine I was operating.
Yeah.
You know, I before we got the phone call, I was asking Deborah really quickly and about, because she was headed towards a life wanting to do something that she thought she was supposed to do.
Right.
And the Lord told her, no, I want you to education. And now look at how the Lord's fulfilling the vision he gave her.
Yes.
How did you know that? I just want our listeners to hear that we need to pray about what the Lord wants us to get into.
Well, you know, when I was at that convention, I was praying about what God's will for my life would be. Because, you know,
I was young,
a teenager, you know, and I was, I mean, I was good at what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was my life plan, my life goal. And then I was praying about it. And then, you know, I went back to school. And during that time, I was, you know, couldn't afford to go to school without some kind of financial aid. So I was tutoring. And while I was tutoring some students, it was like it just washed over me. A guy goes, this is what I want.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, what do you mean this is what you want? This. And I'm thinking, he goes, do you see how their light, how you light up their eyes when they finally figure out what you're teaching
Amen.
Them?
Oh,
Amen. Precious, precious.
Wow. Yeah, I'm thinking it is, and I feel a fulfillment through that. Yeah. So at that moment, I said, okay, God, if this is what you want, I go. I had everything set up to go to another college. I had an apartment. I had a job. I had everything.
Praise God, you obeyed.
And
Amen.
I went home that day, and I told my parents. And they go, I go, but that's what God wants. And I'm thinking, so I applied for the college in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 weeks later, this was snail mail, you know. 2 weeks later, I got my acceptance.
Wow.
And a month and a half later, I was in Florida.
Praise
God. That's how quick it happened.
Wow, so, that's
a very wise man once told me, if you really want to give God a good laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah, that's true.
And don't ever base your career on the money, because God will supply. Even if you go to a career that doesn't seem like it makes as much money as what, an accountant or CPA, he will supply, because you're walking in his plan.
And the thing is, that time was not wasted, because all that knowledge that I got.
Oh, you teach it in the classroom too, right?
I taught it in the classroom.
Yep.
And as being a principal, I have to have that business finance area.
Look at God.
So God
That's right.
Everything that I had just worked all together.
Yeah. Amen. He works all things out together for our good.
It's amazing, isn't it? How he does it.
It's helpful for our listeners. You know, time is dissipating even as I speak.
Yeah.
But two things that are on my heart. One is, I know the Lord has shown me while we were on the air that there are people listening right now that are perched on the brink of responding to a call that God has already given them, and they needed encouragement.
Yes,
and
this
felt that too.
Program, Deborah's testimony is the encouragement you were looking for.
Amen.
And now it's important you move forward in that. God will lead you in the details.
Yes.
But to say yes to God now is what's critical. The other thing that God put on my heart is, and I think I touched on this earlier, but what you're doing, Deborah, and the folks at High Point, and we have to now include, God has raised up Christian education opportunities, giving vision to so many more people today.
Yes.
When I say today, I'm not speaking of today as in the last generation. That some people would. I'm speaking right now,
right now.
And so for those within reasonable driving distance of High Point Church in Port St. Lucie, if you have kids in public school and you're really concerned about, and they're of the ages of obviously that the Foundations Academy will matriculate, to be thinking about, praying about their investment in that kind of environment.
Yes.
And of course, then if they reach the point of saying, I need to check this out, Deborah, give us the contact information.
Okay.
For the website, phone numbers, that's kind of
thing. Number is 772-301-1616. And the website is www.foundationspsl.org. And there on the website, there's a place where it says you can request for a tour. But if you want just to get more information, you can go ahead and put the information in and request for information, and we can reach out to you either by email or by phone call.
Yeah, and I'm just looking over your website. It's very well done, Deborah.
Oh, thank you.
It's full of lots of information. So, please, foundationspsl.org is where you need to go. And this is a very extensive website. It tells you a lot. So, I think that just if you feel anything, the Holy Spirit may be moving you, take a look at that website. Take a look.
Mm-hmm.
And
go
the Holy
for
Spirit
it.
Will affirm.
Amen. Amen.
Will
you
affirm.
It's part of your prayer process.
Yes. Yes.
And you don't have to be a parent. You could be a grandparent.
Yeah.
You can be
yes.
a concerned uncle or a
for
knee,
your grandkids.
Or an aunt.
Yes.
And the parents may not take the time to look at this or have not heard this.
Mm.
Pass it on. This is why God's got you listening to it right now.
Exactly. Nothing is by happenstance.
And before we close, the other thing is, in our coverage area, there are certainly people saying, well, I live 150 miles from, Port St. So I can't even consider going there. All right, we understand that.
Yes.
But where you are, if God is stimulating you to be focused on Christian education where it's not happening, if God may be giving you a vision, maybe speaking to something that he's put in your heart a long time ago, that he wants today for you to be a part of getting that off the ground is... And I'm going to say this in all faith, in all conviction, that there are listeners right now in our coverage, listening right now, whom God is calling to move to the next level of initiating a process where he will want Christian education to rise up where you are, in your church, in your community. Mm. I have no idea. God is a wondrous—I mean, God's going to fund it. He's going to make it happen. If he's given you a vision, he's going to make it real.
Yes, he will.
The point is, you got to say yes to God. It's time to get off the fence.
Yep.
You've been on the fence too long, and you've been afraid.
So into the kingdom is so what I
into
keep
the
hearing.
Kingdom.
So into
Absolutely.
The kingdom.
Yes, and Absolutely. Put that fear aside yeah. and say, I trust God. Well, I've talked us into the point where I now have to say thank you for listening. Deborah, thank you for
thank
being
you.
With
you.
Us.
God bless you for
I
your obedience.
I want to hear more about what God is doing. And you'll Amen. Undoubtedly be back with us down the road. And listeners, God bless you. We look forward to you tuning in next week.
Amen.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the